has been a very violent year nationally. I don't think Milwaukee's any different. We have seen a lot of gun violence. We've seen a lot of suicide as well. So I think that when times are stressful, unfortunately, well, the side effect of that is more injury and death. When I was a medical student at the Medical College of Wisconsin, I was working at Frederick, and we had a drive-by shooting into a house, and I was working in the emergency room at that time. The patients were only Spanish-speaking, and I, as a medical student, was the only person in the room that spoke Spanish at the time, so they moved me right to the head of the bed, and the drive-by was a retaliation shooting. The target was the victim's child, son, adult son, and this couple was just laying in bed at night, and high caliber rounds tore through the house and hit them while they were asleep, and it was very, very, I had never seen wounds like this before. So, and then on top of that, having to be the only person in the room that spoke their language and translate as a medical student who didn't know anything about trauma or emergency medicine at the time, it really stuck out as a really a pivotal moment in seeing that, you know, there really wasn't anything at the time that physicians and the ER could do. There wasn't much that could be done. It was, you patched them up and you sent them up to surgery or you sent them home. And then the next one was when I was in Kansas City, I was a resident, and we had a two-year-old that was shot in the mouth. And the two-year-old had gotten into mom's purse and found her gun that she legally owned and was using for protection, and the child had shot himself in the mouth, and it knocked out his two front teeth, and then lodged, like it bounced off the base of his skull and lodged there. For me, it was first time I had seen someone so young impacted, and really had to think about, you know, who's to blame for that injury. Is it the mom for owning a gun? Is it society because she doesn't feel safe? Is it the gun manufacturer because the gun looks like a toy? You know, when you looked at the actual make and model of the gun that the 2-year-old got a hold of, it fits, first of all, it can fit in a 2-year-old's hand, and second of all, it's brightened silver shiny, right? So it was appealing to that 2-year-old. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, is the manufacturer's responsibility to make it, you know, a trigger that can be pulled by a 2-year-old? Like, why wasn't there any other safety mechanisms involved? So those two cases, I think, really got me, piqued my interest. And they, you know, quite honestly, I was just mad that these injuries actually happened. You know, I think there were so many things that I thought could have been done upstream that could, you know, have prevented any of these injuries from happening. I think every physician, everyone in healthcare has coping mechanisms. So I try to focus that anger at society and at the situation and at the violence into what I do as far as research, what I do as far as advocacy. So at Children's Wisconsin, we have a program called Project Ujima. Basically, what we do is we take kids who are victims of violence that have been shot, stabbed, or physically assaulted, and we wrap them up in services. So our first mission is to make sure there's no retaliation, because we know that in Milwaukee, 50% of our violence is from retaliation, from fights. And then the second thing is we look at the families, siblings, and the, you know, the family. family's needs. So did the injury happen at school, we will go to the school and advocate for the child. But pre-COVID, about 40% of the injuries that we saw happened in or around schools. So we do a lot of advocating at the school for school safety. We try to assess if there's mental health needs. That's a huge need for a lot of our kids. And we will connect them with mental health resources. We advocate in the courts for the children. We try to help the parents with employment, if there's housing issues. So we do a lot of that. And then we have a lot of programming. So we have some after-school programming. We have some leadership programming. And then we have summer camp. So there is a movement across the country to really think about what hospitals and health systems can do to, you know, stop the cycle of violence and help families to get out of situations where, you know, their kids might be re-injured or they might be in danger. And then my research has been really looking at evaluation of those programs. So looking at, you know, these kids when they come into programming, what do they look like emotionally, psychologically? How does our programming actually help and improve those outcome measures? So we've done a lot of good work with other programs and other interventions. And then I also do work with mapping of injuries and looking at public databases of injuries, looking at locations and mapping and seeing if we present these maps of where injuries are occurring to, you know, stakeholders in the community, will that lead to community action to try to, you know, develop interventions to stop violence before it even happens?